Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
One of the toughest spiritual lessons that any of us ever sets for ourselves is the early loss of a child. More bereft parents than I can count have insisted to me that they never chose this, but many others have found comfort and peace in beginning to see their own larger plan. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and our guests are my beautiful friend, the extraordinary spiritual medium Suzanne Wilson, and Elizabeth Boisson, who is co-founder of a wonderful national organization called Helping Parents Heal. We're going to talk about what may be the most painful subject of all in the hope that helping you to help those you love through the trauma that might happen at any time and towards hope and healing and growth will be a wonderful, wonderful gift to us all. Welcome, Elizabeth and Suzanne. I'm so glad you're here.
This is wonderful to be on this show. Thank you so much, Roberta.
Hello from Carefree, my friend. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, big hug to you both. And it is wonderful to be speaking to Suzanne, who has become such a central part of my life for about the past year, ever since Thomas broke into it. But that's another story. I understand that the two of you are friends and neighbors.
Yes, we live about 4 miles apart in Carefree and Cave Creek.
Okay, so little towns next to each other. Still, it's surprising that you met. How did you meet? And please tell us that story.
Well, it was kind of amazing because of the fact that Suzanne had just arrived from Florida, and so she was just getting started. She was looking for a space to perhaps give psychic readings. I had been practicing yoga at a yoga studio close to where I live for many, many months, and as soon as my son passed from severe altitude sickness at the base camp of Mount Everest in Tibet on October 20th of 2009, I didn't go back to the studio at all. But as it happened, Suzanne decided that she was going to go and interview with the head of the studio, Angie, and see about renting a space there, which is actually something that Suzanne has never even been interested in doing. So it was kind of already orchestrated by Morgan. But when she got there, Angie was the type of person, or is the type of person, who's very down to earth and not very spiritual. And so she didn't really know how to test Suzanne. She said, well, I don't know what you could do to show me that you're a psychic medium. And it turned out that there was a Christmas card from me that I had sent out early with all three kids, and it was just their pictures on the front of the card. And so Suzanne said, I guess I could read this card if you'd like. And
let's get the picture here. So almost random meeting, seems to be a random meeting. Christmas card, Suzanne's trying to prove that she in fact is what she is, which is really a terrific spiritual medium. And so she says, okay, I'll read this Christmas card for you. And it happens to be from you, and it happens to have pictures of all three of your children, including Morgan, right?
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Okay, so Suzanne, tell us the rest of it. What happened?
Yes. Well, it was crazy because usually reading a picture is a psychic thing. I can just pick up on whatever is in the aura of the people in the picture. But in walks this big, beautiful, bold spirit and light, and it was Morgan. And immediately he started giving me a very quick download of evidential details that even this young lady, Angie, didn't know, but she took copious notes.
Wow.
And then relayed the information.
Wow, that's very exciting. Okay, so clearly he did engineer it. And then you met, and was this before or after Helping Parents Heal was started?
Well, the amazing thing about our meeting was that it took a while. I really wanted to get a reading from Suzanne, although I'd never had any readings from anyone before, but I was so excited about what she said. And then it turned out that we had to wait a while, and by the time that we were able to meet, she had already met Mark Ireland the week before, and It was at a program for Jamie Clark, and Mark Ireland's son, Brandon, died on a mountain the same way that Morgan died on a mountain. And so he signed his book, Soul Shift, Finding Where the Dead Go, and gave it to Suzanne so that she could hand deliver it to me, which I thought was just such a wonderful thing. And so basically, Suzanne also orchestrated the fact that Mark Ireland, who is a co-founder of Helping Parents Heal, and me connected. The two of us connected.
That's
which
neat.
Was really wonderful.
So she's sort of the guardian angel of the group then. She's the
Yes, she is. Yes.
The force behind the group. I love that. All right. What does Helping Parents Heal do for people? We know there are other organizations that also help grieving parents. What particularly do you feel is important about what Helping Parents Heal do, just briefly?
Well, yes. The difference between Helping Parents Heal and most grief support groups that are available is that we welcome any types of validations or signs, and we speak about the afterlife. We encourage parents to be in contact with their children, and we are an uplifting group because we're trying very hard for everyone to get up to that higher level, that higher vibration where you can communicate with your kids. So it's something that I have felt very, very concerned about from the very start, because I realized that all of these kids are trying so hard to get in touch with their parents, and being able to have a platform to talk about this makes it easier. When we're in a group and everyone's sharing their validations, it makes it easier for other parents to recognize those same validations that they've been receiving all along.
This is a problem that we who do afterlife research have seen in the past with a number of kinds of grief support groups, and it still exists apparently in most hospices, which is that the best, in my experience by far, the best comfort for a grieving person comes from knowing what actually is going on and that our loved ones are fine, and then being able to communicate with them. This seems to make sense, I would think, but in fact, it's not been the case. People in these groups have been told not to, in some cases, not to consult mediums or to believe signs, which just does nothing but plunge you into a need for even deeper grief for a longer time. So kudos to you, dear, that what you've done is to set up a way for people to begin to get real relief. I think that is fabulous. Just want to make sure that we understand this. People would contact you, would join a meeting, and when they're there, they would then meet other grieving parents and share stories. Is that what it primarily is like?
That's primarily what it's like, but we also have guest speakers. And, for instance, Suzanne has come to speak to our group 4 times in the past, and this last meeting that she came to drew over 100 people because they are all so excited about hearing what she has to say about how to recognize validations, how to increase dream visitations and contact with our children. And then she also offers validations from children when she's there. And she's amazing. So
she is amazing. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But
yes,
I think it's exciting that they can have this experience with her. And now there's a very long lead time to meet with her, so I think that's wonderful that you've done that. And here's an anecdote.
Yeah.
There are, as I think Suzanne and perhaps you also, Elizabeth, know, there are people now working on developing direct communication techniques, a soul phone, with dead people.
Yes.
It's already
Karen
happening
Schwartz.
In Brazil. They're about 2 years ahead of us. But it's Portuguese. I mean, it's a little hard for us. But the station that the dead are always the ones who are doing this work. We the people who are here are just their assistants. But the dead running the station, when it became operational, said, okay, we have so many children lined up here. The first people who are going to get to talk to people where you are, where we are, will be these children talking to their parents. And so they've been putting hundreds of parents every week through this opportunity to speak with the children. And the children are the ones who have initiated it. So isn't that validation?
They
of what
work
you just
hard
said?
From the other side. That's true.
Yes.
And if I may interject, Roberta, if I may interject, you know, that's an important point to note, that it's not just the people in the physical world who are trying to reach out.
Oh, yeah.
It's also the children and all the loved ones in the metaphysical world or the afterlife that are trying to reach out. Dying doesn't make you all-knowing, as you've pointed out in your books, Roberta. And it also doesn't make you automatically know how to jump into a loved one's dream for a visit or how to give them signs and symbols. So the kids especially are very good at showing me what goes on behind the scenes. And they have these halls of reunion where they have dress rehearsals, just like a Broadway play.
Tell us more about that, Suzanne. So there's children who have lost their parents, very anxious to let the parents know they're okay. Take it from there. They put them through rehearsals of how to do this?
Well, the first thing they want to do when they get there is to let everybody back here know that they've made it, they've arrived, and they are still part of their family's lives. So they look around and say, hey, anybody else ever give a sign to your family? What do you do? Okay, we'll show you. Come on into the halls of reunion. Here's one stage where we learn to merge our energy with a butterfly or a hummingbird. Here's another hall where we practice jumping into a dream. And there are counselors here that are trained and very well educated about the timing of the dream visit, because grief can be a wall, and sometimes you may have to jump into the dream of a cousin before you can jump into the dream of your mom. You know, this is all orchestrated very carefully and very lovingly, and they have a lot of fun with it too.
Yes, they do. That's something of which I'm aware, but I'm fascinated to see that there are people who are just working with these children. How young can a child be when he or she transitions and wants to say, I'm okay? Do they work with very young children, or are they a little older?
Even babies, because the soul is the soul, and the soul is eternal. There will be guardians and guardian spirit guides that will work with babies and help them to get signs through.
Wow. Okay, well, that's very important information, and I'm sure parents are eager to know that their children are trying to get through. So what would they what would a parent do who wanted to make it easier for their child? What's that? Because I know grief is a barrier, and it's terrible that it is, but it's a negative energy. So what would you recommend, Suzanne, to people, and Elizabeth then too, to people who want to hear from their loved ones who are
Well, the children? First thing is to have patience. First of all, you must honor your grief, because part of the human journey is to have the experience of love and loss and reunion. The second thing I recommend is to keep a journal or diary or log of experiences that are above the norm. Signs, symbols, synchronicities, those freaky-deaky little coincidences, seeing the loved one in a dream so that you can look back and see patterns and trends in how you're receiving information. And then there's some very specific things that you can do in terms of making your own direct connection through meditation and inviting in and setting up the specific circumstances that will help a dream visit to come through to you.
Wow. Okay. And Elizabeth, do you have thoughts on that?
This is something that I've been doing ever since I actually started the group, was to try to raise my vibration, because I believe that by doing so, we can connect so much easier with our kids. And to do that, we need to be able to set an intention, tell ourselves that we're going to be raising that vibration. We have to become more aware. We have to practice forgiveness, be compassionate, pray, and meditate daily if that's something that's available to us, because that is also something that's very, very helpful. And then once we've done all of these, there's a few other things. It's important to be empathic and to see through the eyes of others, and I think that that goes along with the life review that we're all going to be experiencing at the end. But the best thing is that we can experience it right here and not have to have it happen when we're transitioning. There's also the whole process of purifying our emotions and being grateful And for me, one of the things that I think really helps to raise a vibration is to eat a primarily plant-based diet, but that's not 100% necessary. And then just reprogramming our thinking. So making sure that we have a positive outlook on life in everything that we're doing. And
this is hard for people who have an empty crib to do things. This is a process. And people are asking also, I'm sure, well, what's this about energy and vibration? Well, we've talked about this before, but just as a little reminder, the only thing that exists is energy, and the energy vibrates. The highest vibratory rate is that of love. I mean, this sounds so corny, it's hard to even say it, but it's just a fact. The highest energy rate in the universe is love. God, if you want to use the term, is pure love, and our minds are part of the eternal mind, capital M, or source, or God. And really, that is the only thing that exists. Everything else is an artifact. So our positive energy, love, forgiveness, gratitude, all the positive things we can have in our mental energy really is essential to our being free of the negatives that are actually a barrier. What are the barriers? Grief, hatred, anger, resentment, anything you can think of that's a negative emotion, those will lower your vibration like a rock. So what Elizabeth is saying is actually scientific. The ultimate energy is consciousness energy, the highest vibration of consciousness. Consciousness energy, easier to say than it is to think. Consciousness energy is love. And the lowest, one of the lowest, unfortunately, is grief. So the process of being back again in contact with your child, and you can be in contact with your child, and your child will be thrilled with it, but the process really requires some tough work on doing some things which are the last thing you might feel like doing now. So as Suzanne says, we first honor our grief, and nobody has a right to tell you how to grieve. It's up to you to go through it in your own way. But if being back with your child is important, the most important thing you can do as part of that process is to be thinking about how you can get back to loving, to forgiving, to being a high vibration person, because your child will be right there then. Have I said that okay, Suzanne?
Beautifully. And, you know, let's keep in mind that there is a divine plan at work and that everything will be all right and it will make sense later. I have talked to, thousands of parents now, and I can see where it would be so easy to stay in the bitterness and stay in the anger and use it and wear it like armor. But then you're negating the whole purpose of the life experience, and you will be together again. One of the things that's important that the kids all band together, and there's a couple things that they want the parents to know here, and these seem to be universally true. And number one is that the kids all help each other, and they orchestrate behind the scenes for their parents who don't know each other yet to meet and be able to support each other. And that's one very important thing.
Isn't that interesting?
The second,
I've heard that before,
it is amazing.
Suzanne.
And Elizabeth has hundreds of stories, maybe, I don't know, probably hundreds of stories about that. But the other thing, too, is that they're still part of the family's life, and they appreciate if there is a place set for them at the table at the holiday or the birthday, or they appreciate being talked out loud to. And if you just make an appointment with them, say, you know, son, next Tuesday at 2, I'm going to meet you in meditation. Let's meet at that place that we both really love. You know, the park bench where we love to sit. And then you make yourself see it, hear it, feel it, smell it, make it as real as possible, because then you're speaking their language and they'll show up.
Isn't that an amazing
thing? Well, and all of those different ways that they visit, either by dream visitations or you can sense their presence sometimes if you're in the kitchen, or you feel their touch or smell their fragrance, or you hear their voice, or there's unexpected electrical activity, or you get a phone call, or you receive a symbolic message, sign, coincidence, or synchronicity, and then any kind of movement that you see out of the corner of your eye, or seeing an orb in a photo, for instance. And then also your child is sometimes manifests herself as a hummingbird or a butterfly. But
yes,
what I was going to say is that I have some examples that are just kind of mind-boggling of validations that parents have had from their children that are just so spot on and so wonderful. And I don't know if we have time, but maybe I could just give one.
Well, let's pause here now.
Sure.
And this is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, My Thomas, and Liberating Jesus. You can learn about all my books and find my blog at robertagrimes.com. Our guests today are the great spiritual medium Suzanne Wilson and also Elizabeth Poisson, who is a beautiful person, actually. I've heard her speak, and she's co-founder of Helping Parents Heal, which is an organization that I think is much more likely to help parents who are in grief. There are others that will try to help, and they're all wonderful. But Helping Parents Heal acknowledges, respects, and validates all the ways that our dead children are trying to work with us. And that's important, because if your child is trying to do something for you and you're being told, no, that the fact that there's butterflies all over your backyard, that has nothing to do with your child. If you're being told that, then you are not getting what would be a glorious moment of reconnection with the child. So Helping Parents Heal, why don't we just, in case people can't stay to the end, give your contact information, Elizabeth.
Yes, my phone number is 480-363-5275, and my email is E as in Elizabeth, V as in Victor, B as in boy, O-I, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, O-N as in Nancy, at yahoo.com. And our website is www.helpingparentsheal.info. So that's fairly easy.
And if they want to contact you, they can tell their story, they can come to meetings, and you have meetings all over the country, right? Isn't this
yes,
a national
we have meetings all over
now?
The country, and we'd love to have them come to a meeting. And we also have a monthly newsletter, so it's always nice to get these validation stories because I publish them so that everyone can learn about them. And that's what I was explaining about a few minutes ago. Some of these stories are just amazing, the things that our kids do to be able to get in touch with us. And I don't know, I was just going to give one example.
Okay, tell one. Tell an example that seems to be almost unbelievable.
Well, yeah, I have some friends who are in Martha's Vineyard now. Their son passed away on a road here on Carefree Highway. He was running in a race, and he comes back and shows himself in so many different ways. But one of the specific ways that they know that Robbie is with them is through beach class, because they used to do it as a family on Martha's Vineyard before, and now they've continued to do it, and they find the most amazing pieces. But just recently, his dad found a very rare piece of green glass, and when he got it home, he shined a light on it and saw that it had the number 8 stamped into it. 8 is very significant for their family because Robbie's granddad played on the U.S. Olympic hockey team against the USSR. I don't know if you remember that, that game. It was very exciting. And his jersey with the number 8 was retired. This affirms that Robbie and his granddad are together and that they're watching over their family.
Yes,
Yeah, and then there's another one that I think is very significant because I know the family so well and I know the younger son. And he's so withdrawn and kind of not at all into the spiritual world. But when his older brother died in a car accident, the whole family rushed down to the hospital. And Ethan, the younger son, saw Kyle riding on a motorcycle the whole way down to the hospital with them, right at the side of them.
Really?
And then when they got to the, excuse me?
He saw him?
He saw him, but he was actually in the hospital. He was in the emergency room. And then when they got to the hospital, they were in the chapel speaking with the chaplain, and Ethan saw Kyle standing with his helmet,
wow,
looking into the room and looking with incredible love at his family. And the thing that was significant about this is that he didn't even say anything to his parents about this until 2 weeks later, because he didn't believe it himself. But he finally just said, oh my gosh, I've got to tell my parents about this. And so it made it all that more validating for his mom, because she knew what her younger son was like. He's totally against all of these kinds of things. So it was a wonderful way to validate.
Yes, yes. And that was especially why the son showed himself to,
exactly,
to his doubting
to
brother. Yes,
yes, yes,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Something I'd like to move on to talk about, because
sure,
I said at the start that this is part of a plan, and I think what I'd like to do is address that, because parents find it very hard to believe they would have chosen this. Just speaking in terms of the afterlife evidence, we know that we live many lifetimes. We're here to grow spiritually. Each of those lifetimes is like one bad afternoon in a gym. We're strengthening our spiritual muscles, and it turns out that one very useful spiritual muscle strengthener is the loss of a child. I don't know why. I guess it doesn't matter right now. But there's a lot of evidence that parents and children actually happily plan these experiences into this very brief lifetime. We live eternally, so this lifetime is nothing in eternity. But if you can grow from it, people do it. Children who die are almost always advanced beings. They're higher vibration beings who don't need more time on Earth, but they're giving a gift to this family. As those lifetimes are being planned out, the family is delighted and happy to receive the gift of someone who doesn't have to do it, coming into a body, being born, going through all of that, and then one day leaving early. And just in order for everybody involved to grow spiritually. That's what we learn from the dead. And I know it makes your eyes cross to think about it. Suzanne, from your perspective, would you modify that? Is that what you think too, or is it something else?
I used to be afraid to tell a parent that they would punch me out if I said,
yes,
you know, you and your child planned as souls that this would happen.
Right.
And over time, there's this raising of the consciousness on the planet where now I can at least say that without fear of bodily harm.
Yes.
But it's mortifying to them. But they know, okay, there's something to this. I'm not going to understand this until later. And one of the things I found that helps them is the child will be standing there and say, tell my mom, she used to have this recurring thought that something bad was going to happen to me, that I wouldn't be here. And I'll repeat that. And then my client will say, oh, that's right. Tell my mom that people would look at me and say, there's something different about this child. That's right. And then they can start to accept that their child was an advanced soul and this is part of a plan.
Yes. Yeah, wow, that's perfect. Thank you. Elizabeth, did you ever bring this up to people, or are you afraid of being punched out too?
I usually bring it up in situations where it's been a suicide or maybe a drug overdose, because I think that a lot of times it makes it a little bit easier to understand that all of this was written out from the very beginning, that it was all decided, and that there was nothing that anyone could do. So, but at the same time, I agree with Suzanne, because in the very beginning, which was about 6 years ago, I would never have said anything like that, because really, when you elaborate on this plan, everyone ends up in heaven at some point. People go through spiritual healing and then they end up in heaven, and that's as it should be. I mean, I think that that's an understandable thing. At the same time, for people who have had children who have died because they've been murdered by someone, or they've been molested by someone, it's kind of a scary thing to think that at some point all of these souls, who some of whom were not very good in past lives, are all going to be in the same place. But I think that the lives that we lead balance out our soul quality.
Well,
we come back and we...
Yes, and what seems to happen is that I don't know if really bad stuff. I mean, the record is silent on whether murders are planned. I have seen a tiny bit of evidence, which says that very rarely friends, you know, eternal friends, will be allowed to build something like a murder into their lifetimes. But the same evidence suggests to us that it is so it's such a difficult problem for the murderer. To, even though it was planned and it's not real, I'm starting to think most murders are probably accidental deaths rather than, which can happen, they're just rare.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other area we don't need to go into. The point is that if you've lost a child, your child is safe, the death was planned by you, almost certainly planned joyously, it was a gift of that child to you, so that you could grow spiritually, and you'll be together in half a minute. Certainly from the viewpoint of your child, it will seem like no time at all before you're there. I don't care how long you live here, time isn't real there. But even from your perspective, in the end, as one of you said, I think Suzanne, you said this, it is going to make sense, and there's comfort and peace in knowing that this was not just a horrible act of God, what a thought that is, or the universe turning against you, or the devil, or anything negative at all. This is all part of your process of spiritual growth, which, and just as an aside, since you mentioned it, Suzanne, I'm noticing it too. The elevation of the consciousness of the planet is happening so fast now. It's as if it speeds up every year. And this is all part of it. We're all learning what's going on and learning to grow from the lessons we've set for ourselves. That's our little part contributed to this great, enormous project being orchestrated way above our pay grade, which in the end is going to lead to peace on earth and joy forevermore. So there's that to look forward to.
Amen. And you know, I've always said that this so-called veil between the worlds is a quantum physical manifestation of our all-too-human belief that somehow we're apart from God,
yeah,
and somehow we're apart from each other. We're all one, and we're punching holes in that veil with this increase in the vibration of the people on the planet, and soon with the soul phone, with the work that's being done with the communication. What's going to happen is we're going to be able to make these phone calls to the dead and be reassured, yep, we're doing great, we're all right, and what does that leave us to have in fear? Nothing. What
Nothing.
Does that leave us to have in anger? Nothing. We'll
right.
have our world peace,
yeah,
finally, and bring that heaven to earth. You know,
yeah,
some people say this is hell. I think this could be heaven, and that's what we're here to do, to bring
yes.
a little bit of heaven here.
Oh, beautifully said, dear. I should just say as a further anecdote that Craig Hogan, who was with us just a few weeks ago, Craig Hogan is working on the North American station with his team, and the dead team have given them a very promising sign. They have said, the children are lining up here. We'll let you know soon who the parents should be. So,
great.
There's that.
That's beautiful.
Isn't it?
Well, yes, I think that's a wonderful project for him to be working on. And I just wanted to quickly get in just a little bit of our mission statement, just so that it makes it a little more clear. Helping parents heal goes a step beyond other groups by allowing the open discussion of spiritual experiences and evidence for the afterlife in a non-dogmatic way. Affiliate groups welcome everyone regardless of religious or non-religious background and allow for open dialogue. We receive all and do not judge people or their children on the basis of life choices. So anyway, it's basically, it's so important to let everyone know that we want everyone to come to this group and that everyone is welcome. And we have such a diverse population of people who belong to the group, which is just wonderful. So,
which is anyway. Great. And you're a nonprofit, right?
Yeah, we're a nonprofit. We filed for our nonprofit status in 2012. So it had existed for 2 years before then, and then Mark and I got together, and then we did the nonprofit for Helping Parents Heal.
Is there a cost for parents who would like to come to meetings?
Well, there's a cost to come to the meetings just because of the fact that I have speakers a lot of the time. When we're just doing our meditation circle, there's no cost. But it's $5 per person, and that money is split equally between whomever is presenting and Unity of Phoenix. So I just split it equally, and depending on how many people.
Is not anybody's budget buster. That's wonderful. What you do such wonderful work, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you. I enjoy it.
Yeah, one of the things that strikes me more and more is that each of us is being called to have a particular bliss in this great, great, gigantic project. You know, each person has a different mission here, and each person signed up for it and now is being called to it. I talk to people about this gigantic tapestry we're all putting together, and each of us is putting in one stitch, and you chose this stitch, and wow, are you doing a beautiful job with it. I'm so delighted to know you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited to be able to know you as well, and the books that you've written are just amazing. And
thank you, dear.
And I know that Suzanne admires you so much. So this is a wonderful thing to be able to be speaking with you on this show.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it's fine. It would be fun for outsiders to read my emails to Suzanne because I'm raving about her. So she writes back and raves about me. It's really it's a lovely thing. The best people I have ever known are people who are working in this field. It is just, I think it's the biggest dividend that I get paid for all of the things that I'm trying to do is I get to make the best possible friends.
I guess that the fact that everybody in it is just in it for love, so that's a wonderful thing to be working towards, just love.
That's beautifully said. That's exactly right. And it's working. I think the fact that Suzanne has reminded me to say that, I guess I can't say it often enough. We really are succeeding in raising the consciousness of the planet. It takes every one of us to do it, but it's happening now. It's going to take a little while to get to the point where we're literally changing the vibration enough so that it's impossible for people to be doing evil things. But that process has started, and it's exciting. But I'd like people to know how they can reach you, and also how they can reach Suzanne, and then we'll sort of have some other final thoughts that you might have about all of this.
Mine's real easy. I'm the carefree medium. I live and work in carefree Arizona, where cowboys and caviar meet, or so they say. And my website is carefreemedium.com.
And maybe the two of you will email me your contact information, too, to put in the description of this podcast, because I've not been taking notes, but I want to make
sure
people who want to get in touch with you can.
People can call me by cell phone, and my cell phone number is 480-363-5275, and our website address is www.helpingparentsheal.info. And then we have a Facebook site as well that I actually added you to this morning, Roberta. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did.
Good. So you're probably going to be getting a lot of messages. And if you want to cut that down, you can
do so
in the settings. So anyway, but what I was going to say is it initially was called Parents United in Laws when I started the group in October of 2009. And then when Mark and I joined forces, which was in March of 2012, we changed the name to Helping Parents Heal. So that's the name of it, but I couldn't change the name on the Facebook because we already had too many members. So
I know nothing about Facebook, but I know that there may be people listening who'd like to be part of your group. How do they do that?
If they're interested, they type in Parents United in Laws, and then they do a search for it. And once they're on the site, there's a place that they can join. If they join, it takes a little bit of time, maybe a half an hour or an hour, depending on who's on the site that can approve them.
Because the site is completely confidential, so no one that's not on the site can see anything that's written on there. And so that's part of it. On that site, we have all of the upcoming events that are posted, so you can go on to the event tab and see that. I also post the newsletter on the Facebook site, but I also publish it through MailChimp, so that's another way that they can go onto our website, which was the helpingparentsheal.info, and sign up for our monthly newsletters. And the next one should be coming out within the next few days or so. So
that's great.
But we have affiliate meetings once a month throughout the country, and it would be wonderful to have whomever would like to attend. We're always looking for new members, and it's a club that no one wants to join, but at the same time, I really truly feel that the people that we have in our group are enlightened and beautiful, and we're all working towards getting through this together.
And helping other people to get through it, I think, is an important part of that. So new people joining this group are not joining a closed circle at all. The Facebook area has to be, but those meetings will be opportunities to find really the kind of love that you need right now from people who understand what you're going through, so that you can begin also to heal and to move on. You never get over it. But you can make a good life still after you've lost a husband or a wife or a child, or the horrible losses. They seem horrible here, but they're really not, in the scheme of things, anything but in some ways a gift.
You can experience joy again, and obviously you're not going to be joyful every hour of every day, but that's the goal that I set for all of the parents, is that they are able to laugh and experience joy again. And if that's the case, if they're able to do that, their kids are very happy, and
that's
they have
right.
a much better life. So
that's
anyway.
Right. Oh, yes, the children, your children are able to be right there with you. Your children are able to understand how you're feeling and to grieve with you for the fact that you're grieving. It's a great help to the child you think you've lost, or you haven't lost at all, if you can help that child to feel better about how you're feeling. I only know this, I know Suzanne, you know it much more than I, but just even having worked with Mikey Morgan and seen his grief over his parents' grief, it's very difficult to watch when the children love so much.
The children often say, tell my parents, tell my family that it hurts bad to see them hurt bad. And they like it when you tell stories and memories about them and you laugh because they're laughing along with you.
Oh.
And if I could just add some advice for parents, from my standpoint as a medium, I'm not a bereaved parent. I'm not even a parent. I'm a medium. I can tell you that there's some things that you can do for yourself that will help. Getting a reading is helpful. But I want to tell you that it's just like one part of, say, a spoke in a wheel of healing. Talking to other parents is helpful. If you need grief counseling, whether in a group or one-on-one, these are all helpful things. And like Roberta said, you don't get over this. You get through this. And like Elizabeth said, you are made to feel joy. If you get a reading or if you get a dream visit, be careful who you share this with. In the Bible, there's the cast not your pearls before swine, lest they trample upon them. You know, other people are afraid of death. And if you just send out your recording of your reading, you know, believers count hits, non-believers count misses. And meanwhile, you've got people critiquing something that is holy and dear to you. Keep these things private. When you get a dream visit, you're going to be tempted to tell somebody at work, oh, you know, I saw my daughter and she looked great. And they'll be like, there, dear. Isn't that nice?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, people say dumb things to bereaved parents, like, well, you still have two other children. You know, just be careful who you share with and keep these things holy and private, and give gratitude for the reading or give gratitude for the dream visit or the sign, because gratitude gets you more of the same.
Yes, that's such an important point, Suzanne. What I tell people in The Fun of Growing Forever is that if anything seems to be a sign from someone that is on the other side of the veil, always say aloud, thank you, please do it again. Or
yes.
Thank you, I love you, please do it again. Don't say maybe, maybe not. Just err on the side of thanking for every possible sign, because that's, as you say, Suzanne, that's how you get more of them. And that's what
Perfect.
We want. All right. I'm so sorry that we're coming to the end of our time, but we are. This has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you fully understand all the implications of that fact, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. If you want to learn more of some of the amazing things that we're learning about our One Reality, as you know, past episodes of Seek Reality are available on webtalkradio.net and also on iTunes. Just look for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Again, my nonfiction books are The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, My Thomas, and Liberating Jesus. You'll find details about all my books and my blog at robertagrimes.com, and you can contact me through the website if you don't hear within 24 hours. Send flowers. Our guest next week will be my really dear friend, Jamie Turndorf. She's better known as Dr. Love, and she's a terrific relationship counselor and media personality who now helps people to do something that we used to think was impossible. She's developed techniques that can help us to heal relationships with our dead loved ones on our own and thereby enormously improve our lives. I have seen her do this, and it's kind of amazing. She's not a medium, although she is very psychic when it comes to her own dead husband. She's fascinating. You'll really enjoy talking with her and some of the things she and her husband, Jean, have been up to. Of course, this week we've been talking with Elizabeth Boisson, who is co-founder of Helping Parents Heal, an extraordinary organization, and with Suzanne Wilson, who in my view is the greatest living spiritual medium. I'm not sure there's someone in second place. Together and in their separate roles, they're helping thousands of parents to cope with the loss of children and even to find in that loss the growth which is the central purpose of all of our lives. Dear friends, there are many reasons for each of us to make learning what happens at and after death a priority in our lives. Learning the truth banishes fear altogether. It helps us give comfort and hope to those who are embarking right now on the death journey or those who have lost someone they love, and it empowers us to find a new perspective if we must experience what is actually the greatest tragedy I can imagine, that most of us can imagine, and that's the death of a child. Of course, our children don't die. Like all of us, they live eternally. They grow up in an atmosphere of perfect love. That's a whole other story. I could tell you about the stories we hear about the fun they're having where they are now. They grow up within a few earth years, and they're waiting for us as young adults. They loved us and supported us through the rest of our lives, and then we're going to be in their arms again. That is certain. So please don't fear. It's going to be beautiful. The loss of a child turns out to be nothing worse than a really, really bad, tough spiritual lesson. And because it's that, tremendous growth can come. To go on to make the most of that lesson is the greatest gift that you can give to your child. But for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our One Reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.